to talk to you today about our attitudes in certain situations and circumstances. How many of you have ever had an attitude? It's so funny sometimes seeing your faces when I say certain words. I've often said we need to get a camera so you can see what you look like sometimes when I say certain things. How many of you teenagers have ever had an attitude? Moms and dads are looking all over now. Looking all over. We've all had an attitude at times based on a situation or circumstance in our life. We can have a good attitude. You know, attitudes don't necessarily have to be bad. You can have the attitude of victory. You can have an attitude of defeat. You can have an attitude that's grateful, or you can have an attitude that's ungrateful, you know? An attitude necessarily isn't a bad thing. We all have them. We all have good ones at times, and we all have ones that we wish we could have a mulligan on, you know? We could do over. Matthew chapter 15, beginning verse number 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out. In other words, she was loud. This was not something. She just didn't come and say, "Excuse me, could I talk to you for a second?" She was literally calling out in a loud voice to him, probably quite emotional, because of what she had been dealing with and what was going on in her home and her family. She was literally trying to get his attention. Have you ever tried to get someone's attention and you were having a hard time getting their attention? Have you ever been in a restaurant and you're trying to get the waitress's attention and everybody in the entire restaurant knows you're trying to get her attention but her? Have you ever been there? This woman is crying out to Jesus. She finds herself in a very desperate place in life. She finds herself in a hard place. She finds herself in a place that no mom ever thought that she'd find herself in. You know, every mom that carries a child in their womb has great expectation for that child and believes that that child is going to grow up and be the healthiest and be the smartest and be the brightest and accomplish great things and always do the right things and always behave and never have a bad attitude and always listen and always do their chores. And well, we'd like it to be that way, right? But we know in reality that it isn't always that way. And children grow and, well, Scripture says we're all born like a wild ass's colt, meaning a donkey. We're all born like a wild donkey's colt, rebellious, the Scripture says, in nature. And, you know, I'm totally against cursing from the pulpit, and that wasn't cursing. That's a donkey. So I wasn't swearing at you. The Bible says we're all born like that wild donkey, rebellious by nature. Did you ever see try to see anybody get on a donkey? That thing will kick. How about a horse that isn't broke? Don't go up behind it and smack it on the behind. You're liable to get kicked in the head or in the belly, you know? The Scripture says we're all born like that by nature. We have this rebelliousness because we were born into what? You were born into what? How many of you here today were born into sin? Let me see your hand. A bunch of sinners. Say, now you know, I was really going to belt that out, Barbara, and you just went and took my thunder. Saved by grace. Rebellious by nature is what the Scripture says. So by nature, we're all born that way. But Ethan, you don't stay that way. Because when you come to Christ, that old rebellious, let me say, some of you teenagers need to clean up some of your social media before I look at it the next time. Because I'm going to come calling to you. Some of you shouldn't be saying some of the stuff you're saying on social media. Moms, dads, pay attention to that stuff. Get on there. Get on there. Look at that stuff. These are your children. They have accounts you don't know about. Then throw that device away. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm just telling you. We are to be the light of the world. Amen? But sometimes a little bit rebellious. How many of you older folks ever been rebellious? Come on, let me see. How many of the older folks here today have been rebellious? We got teenagers. Kids, put your hand up. Kids, I want you, teenagers, I want you to look around. Oh, some of the parents put their hand down right away. I caught you. I saw you do it. Your kid no more looked over, and your hand went down faster than they could snap their head around. We've all been rebellious by nature. I'm not picking on you. I'm not, hey, I once said things I shouldn't have said. I once have done things I shouldn't have done. But the point is, we got to learn. We got to learn that we aren't that way. We don't talk that way. We don't act that way. We are different because we are in the way. We are in the way of Christianity, which it was, that's what they were called before Christians. They were those who were in the way. Before we ever got deemed Christian, we were those who were in the way. This woman, she finds her child. We don't know if she had another child. We don't know if this is her only child. This is the only one she's referring to. But this child she has is in a very bad place. As a matter of fact, we'll see in just a little bit here what the problem is. She's crying out to the Lord, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. She's saying, God, have mercy on me. Well, if her daughter's got the problem, why is she crying out for mercy on herself? Well, if you've ever gone through a rebelliousness or a child or a sickness of a child, you know the taxing, how taxing that is on you. You know the difficulty. You know the strain. You know the worry. You know the stress. You know the anxiety. You know the sleepless nights. You know all of that that goes along with it, because nobody can suffer with a child like a mother. I mean, us fathers, we come along and we try to do our best, but we do not have what you ladies have. We try. We just like to smack them upside the side of their head and tell them to get it together. Right? Dads, we want to grab them by the front of the shirt and say, come on now. You know, we want to give them a little whack and say, get yourself together. Any dads know what I'm talking about? But you moms, you're a lot more gentle, you're a lot more tender, you know, you're a lot more sensitive, and I appreciate that. Thank God for that. Your kids should thank God for that. Your kids should honor that. Should honor the great differences between moms and dads both in your home, because we both add a different element which you greatly need in your lives. This woman's child is in a bad way, and she's crying out to Jesus. She acknowledges him as to who he is. She cries out to him as Lord, which is vitally important for those of us who are here today and those who have difficulties to recognize that he is Lord, which means he's over all things. Son of David, she acknowledges who he is. Have mercy on me. Now she brings to light what's happening. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession. This is a very serious situation. She chases him down. She's not being very religious because she's shouting and crying in public to him, pleading with him to have mercy on her because of the situation and the circumstance that she finds her daughter in. This is a very bad situation. In verse 23, and Jesus, the Son of God, who she recognizes and cries out to, does the most incredible thing. He answers her not a word. I know people have left churches because the pastor didn't shake their hand. Pastor didn't tell me happy birthday. We didn't even know it was your birthday because you wouldn't fill out one of them cards because you're rebellious by nature. You didn't want anybody to know where you lived. You didn't want anybody to have your phone number. But you got mad because the pastor didn't know your birthday. Well, we're silly people at times, aren't we? And I'm not making a point or picking something with anybody because most all of you have filled out your cards. We know who you are. We know. But the thing is, we get mad over silly, simple things at times and get frustrated. She went. Ethan, did you ever go to Jesus and he didn't answer you real quick? How many of you have ever gone to Jesus and he didn't say anything? Come on. There have been a few times in my life I said, hey, you know, I don't know if you heard that, but I'm talking to you. And then I'd say, sorry, I know you're there, but just made me feel better to say it. Because I didn't sense anything, I didn't feel anything. And you know, there have probably been a lot of times in my life I didn't sense anything or didn't feel anything, but that doesn't mean he ain't there. Just because I don't sense it or don't feel it doesn't take away from the truth. See, my feelings and my senses have nothing to do with the truth. He said, I'm there. He said, I'm closer than a brother. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be with you always. What more does he have to say? He's already told us, right? So it doesn't matter what we feel. Look at somebody and say, it doesn't matter what you feel. You said that like you didn't believe it, but it doesn't matter what you feel. And I know we all go by feelings. My feelings were hurt. I was upset over that. I didn't like that. Wish, you know, that would, our feelings, we were dictated a lot by our feelings and our emotions. But as followers of Jesus Christ, we have to understand that our feelings and our emotions do not supersede or override the truth of the power of God's word. If God says he's there, it doesn't matter whether you feel him or not. But I want to feel him. You don't need to feel him. He's there. I think sometimes silly thoughts. And if I were God, Laura, and somebody said, I just want to feel you, I just give him a good old nudge. Just give him a good old, if I was God. Thank God. How many of you are glad I'm not God? You should be glad I'm. Come on, I'm not that bad. No, but sometimes I just think, could you imagine if somebody said, I just want to feel you, and all of a sudden you just lifted off the ground like 15 feet in the air. The back of your shirt was held up in the air, and he's like, okay, I got you. But he doesn't need to do that. You know why? Because he's God. Because he doesn't lie. And when God says something, it's the truth. So whether we feel it, whether we got the goosebumps or, you know, whatever our emotions are telling us, God is with us. He said, if I am for you, do you need to feel him? He said, if I am for you, who can be against you? No weapon. Why you need to feel him? He said, it doesn't matter what the weapon is, shall not prosper. Didn't say there wouldn't be weapons. It didn't say the weapons wouldn't come against you. How many wish you had just said that? No, in other words, in that, Dane, he said there are going to be weapons formed against you. But don't get bent out of shape over that, because they're not going to prosper. I'm with you. She cries out to him. You think the natural response is, show up on time, Jesus. Come on. You're right there. The woman's crying out to you. She's pleading to you on behalf of her child. And this is the time you're going to be quiet? And obviously she did not stop, because in this verse, in verse 23, so his disciples came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. She had some perseverance, Josh. The first request didn't get answered. Has that ever happened to you? The first request, you don't seem to seem to get what you were requesting. Doesn't seem like it's coming to pass. She keeps going after him. She doesn't stop. Don't look at every roadblock or every hindrance in your life as being that you have to give up or quit on something. Do you know the cemetery is full today of people who gave up on something that they had no right giving up on? All they had to do was persevere, but they gave up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give in. Don't let down. Keep on going. Press on. Press forward. Don't lose your hope. Don't lose your hope. Don't let your dream die because you don't feel like it'll come to pass. Because you don't know how it can come to pass. We have no idea at times how just somebody, one person in your life can change a situation. One encounter. Can you believe that? What a coincidence. I ran into that person. Really? Divine order. To everything there is a season. To everything there is a time. That meeting, that was not just some happenstance. It just didn't happen. It wasn't, as my dad would say, a coinky-dink. Can you believe that? I just happened to run into that person. What a good, good father he is. Because in all of the universe, he arranged for that person and for me to be in the exact same spot. I don't know about you, but that stuff blows my mind. Out of all the peoples of the world, you know, you could go somewhere and not see anybody you know, and then all of a sudden, boom. I run into people everywhere I go. We were in Canada one time with a couple, and they said, everywhere we go, you know somebody. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said, hey, how you doing? Hey, good to see you. They're like, you got to be kidding me. Here you are in Canada, and you run into somebody you know. Lived in the same neighborhood. Grew up. I used to go drink out of his water fountain off the side of his house when I was a kid. We were so poor, we didn't even have water. We had to go drink out of the neighbor's fountains. No, I'm just kidding. They live by a playground, and we get hot, and they'd let us go drink out of their fountain. It wasn't a fountain. It was a water spigot. They weren't like they were rich and had some big fountain flowing out of their house. They had a spigot, and you know, we'd all go over there, put our mouth on that thing, and get a drink. But how easy we give up on things because something gets, you know, we start something, I'm going to do this, and then all of a sudden somebody says, you can't do it. Okay. You know, we're like, I'm doing this, man. I'm going for this. This is my moment. This is my chance. You can't do it. Okay. This is my moment in time. This is my thing. I'm going to knock this thing out. You'll never do it. Okay. I quit. If God before you, who can be against you? Sometimes it takes a little perseverance. Sometimes it takes a little boldness. Sometimes it takes a little confidence in the one who's called you. We'll cross through the water. Well, how are we going to do that? It'll part. It hasn't parted. We'll step in. Sometimes he wants you to step in before he parts the water. He wants to see. Sometimes he just wants to see, are you willing to get in? Because if you get in, he's there. And if you're willing to do what he says to do. I remember one time sitting in an interview at a table with three multi-millionaires. And went through the interview. At the end, they said to me, do you have anything you'd like to say to us? I said, well, I really think that if you don't hire me, it'd be the biggest mistake your company has ever made. Thanks for the interview. Got up, shook their hands, turned and walked out the door. Said those words, got up and shook their hands and turned and walked out the door. By the time I got home, I was getting out of the car and my wife said to me, you got a phone call from that guy you just interviewed with. Ran down, remember that day? Got on the porch, she handed me the phone. Of course, that was the time, you know, where the cord had to go out. You know, you remember when you got the long one? You know, wow, that was like the pre-runner to the cell phone, that long cord. You know, you had the short one, you had to stand right by the phone, but when you got that long one, you could go from one room to another. That was liberating. How many remember that? Man, you're stretching that thing, you felt so proud, you go in and sit down on the chair in your living room because you had that long cord. She stretched that cord out to the kitchen door, he said, "Is this Sean?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "This is so-and-so." I said, "Oh, yeah, how you doing?" He said, "You know what?" He said, "You said something to me and my father and my mother before you walked out that door." He said, "We've been in business since 1950s. Not one person has ever said what you said to us." He said, "So you know what?" He said, "I'm going to hire you just to see if you're as good as you think you are." That's what he said to me. I thought, oh, Lord. I had never done what he hired me to do. Never. Didn't do it. And he hired me. And within a year, I became not only the sales manager for their retail department, I became their sales manager for their wholesale department, too. And I traveled to other states and sold things wholesale as well as I sold things retail. And had a very good, very good job there. And did well for many years. As a matter of fact, the family and I had such a relationship that the grandfather and I established such a relationship. And he loved me. And I had an offer to go to another company that was going to pay me $10,000 a year more money. I'd packed up all my stuff, had it in the car the day I was leaving. And we called him Grandpap. And he pulled in the parking lot, him and his son-in-law, and he got out of the car. He looked in my car. He came up in the office. I was getting ready to hand him my keys. He grabbed me with them big old Hungarian hands. He pointed that big finger at me. And he would tell me, "You got gift." That's how he talk. "You got gift. Talk, 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 talk." That's what he said. "Talk. You got gift. Talk." He said to me, go to your car. Get your stuff. You're not leaving." I felt bad because I liked them. I liked them a lot. I had a relationship with them. I said, "Grandpap, they offered me $10,000 more. That's a lot. I got three starving kids at home. I'm like a missionary. I got to feed these kids. They need shoes. They need clothes. I got a beautiful wife. I got to dress her good. She got to look good, you know. She's beautiful. I'm going to leave her alone. I got these kids. Got to feed these kids." He said to me, "Go get your stuff. Put it back in your office. You're not leaving." I said, "Does that mean I get the raise?" "Don't worry about it. It's done." I said, "Okay." When I got my stuff, put it back. Isn't that the truth? God said, "Well, I wouldn't lie to you." But sometimes y'all look at her when I'm telling stories. Went and put my stuff back in the office. I found out years later, the company did not pay my $10,000 a year raise. Grandpap did out of his own paycheck. Out of his own personal bank account. Out of his own personal finances. He wrote the check and gave it to the company. He said, "You're going to keep them." But it all started when I went to that interview and I wasn't willing to fail. I was going to go after what I believed God had for me with a tenacity. And that's what this woman was doing. I was there for a long time and pastored a church while I was there. And they'd let me leave on my lunch break to do funerals and hospital visits, and I'd go back. And they were very, very good to me. Very good to me. And then after Grandpap died and his daughter and son-in-law were backing out of the business, things happened and the business ended up closing. And that's when I went full-time into the ministry, actually. Well, I consider myself full-time, even though I work 60 hours a week, didn't I? I worked 60 hours a week at that job. Susan worked 40 hours a week at her job. I was working 60, she was working 40, and I was pastoring a church full-time at the same time, doing Wednesday nights, Sunday morning, Sunday nights, and all the things that went on. We were eating dinner in the car. We were throwing Mac Nuggets over the back seat to the kids, you know, going down the road many times in the car. Our kids grew up in the back seat of the car sometimes, you know. But we were pressing on. We weren't willing to let the enemy stop us or to keep us from what God had for us. And sometimes he puts things in our life to sustain us along that pathway. She cries out, "My daughter is suffering terribly." Jesus didn't answer a word. So his disciples said, "Come on, let's get her out of here. You got to rebuke her, you know, tell her to stop, get her out of here." I don't think for a moment Jesus ever had the intention, Karen, of not answering her. Not for a moment. He was just waiting to see her. He's just waiting to see, was she willing to give up? Was she going to walk away? Was she going to be persistent? Was she going to press in? Was she going to believe? Or was her belief going to be taken away by the simple fact she didn't hear something? Because the only difference was this. I want you to understand this morning. She was there. He was there. It wasn't that he wasn't there. He was there. The only thing was, he didn't say anything. So the only thing was, she didn't hear what she wanted to hear, although he was right there. You know, isn't him being there good enough? He's there. He knew. He heard her. Her request didn't fall on deaf ears, even though he did not say anything. The disciples are like, they're kind of like the dads. Let's whack her in his head and tell her to get going. No. Verse 24, Jesus answered. And his answer then comes as somewhat of almost sounding as a rebuke. "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." She was a Canaanite. He was a Jew. "Was I not sent only to the lost sheep of Israel?" Verse 25, and the woman came. She didn't walk away. She didn't give up. She came and he didn't answer. The disciples are yakking, "We got to get her out of here." She kept doing it. Jesus replied, "Didn't I come for the lost children of Israel?" The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Seeming like she was ignored, seeming as if she got the brush off, she comes up and gets in the posture of kneeling before him. She bows down before him. She recognizes him again as Lord. And she cries out to him, "Lord, help me." And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." The Canaanites were referred to as a lesser group of people. They were looked down upon. They weren't even to be in the same social status. And he said, "Is it right to take the children's bread and give it to their dogs?" Most people would have given up when he didn't answer. When the disciples tried to get rid of her, most people would have given up. When she cried out and he said, "Should I take the children's bread and give it to dogs?" What an insult. He wasn't necessarily meaning to insult her. He was speaking of the social climate of the hour. He was speaking of the social atmosphere of the hour. He wasn't really putting her down because he was about to set her free. He was about to deliver her. But he wanted his disciples to understand that the one that came to him, according to Jewish tradition and the law, should not even have been in his presence. But yet, he was going to open access to her. He was going to open access to one that they referred to as dogs. He wasn't necessarily calling her a dog. He was making reference to what was happening at the time in society. He was about to blow their mind because he was about to do something for someone that really they didn't think he should do anything for. Verse 27, as if she wouldn't have shied away at this point. Verse 27, she replies, "Yes, Lord, you are right. But even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." I like this woman. She is a persistent person. She ain't eager to give up. She had a problem. She had a need. She knew who could solve it. She knew where to go. And she wasn't going to let in. She wasn't going to let up. She wasn't going to stop. She was going to press in. Here's now another occasion where she could have very easily packed up and took the daughter home. And George, the daughter, could have suffered out the rest of her life. But she replies back to him, "You are right, but even the dogs eat the crumbs." Anybody here got a dog? You know what she's talking about. Something falls to the floor, they'll get it before you do. Verse 28, then Jesus answered. This is incredible. He says, "Woman," which is not a derogatory term. That was a respectful term in that day. He says, "Woman, you have great faith." He looks at her, he says, "You are quite amazing." As if he didn't already know that. See, the whole thing, look at somebody and say, it was a setup. It was a setup. The whole thing, he was going to get a point across to everyone that was around. They were just mere parts in the story. But everyone else was going to witness the power of this and get set free and be liberated in what was happening in this. Her and her daughter were not the only ones getting set free that day. See, when Jesus does something, it's just not for those he did it for. It's for everyone else too. I read that whole list today, walked down and said to my wife, "Well, that didn't go over like I thought it would." And she said, "Well, I guess most of the ones that got those weren't here today then." Did you hear that list? I don't know what would have stopped the people from shouting to Karen and Sherry, you couldn't have sang another song for 15, 20 minutes. Because the eruption of gratitude from the heart would be so abundant. But sometimes we're just tired. We're weary. We've got those religious spirits that we need broken off of us. "Oh, I couldn't dare shout in church." Okay, well, rip the Psalms out of your Bible then. Because the psalmist said, "Shout unto God with a voice." "Oh, praise you, Jesus. I want to thank you." The psalmist said, "Lift up your voice. Lift up your hands and give thanks to the Lord. Worship the one who is worthy of all things. Let not your voice be silent." Wow. I didn't even get to my notes today yet. Jesus answered her, I've not seen such faith. Why? Because she persevered. She pressed in. She wasn't willing to quit. She wasn't willing to give up. You have great faith. You know, the scripture says we're to pray without ceasing. The Bible says call on the name of the Lord. I wonder sometimes how many of us have stopped one cry too short. I wonder how many times it was one altar call too few that we stopped going to. Huh? Julie, I remember one time my dad suffered a stroke and he lost his eyesight. And he went to church and he asked them to pray for him. And so they prayed for him. And his eyesight didn't get any better. So my dad did the only thing he knew what to do. The next Sunday, he went back to church. And when they had an altar call, he went to the altar. And the same guy that prayed for him said, what do you need prayer for? My dad said, my eyes. He said, well, I prayed for you last Sunday morning. My dad said, yeah, and it didn't work, so go pray for somebody else. I want somebody different. In other words, what he was saying was, I had faith I'd get healed, but I didn't, so it had to be you. So. And I'm not saying that was the case. I don't believe that was the case, but you had to know my dad. He was ornery, and So my dad looked over. He went like that. The pastor went. My dad said, yeah. So the pastor, you know, he didn't really pray for people because he came in the side door and left the side door. He didn't talk to people. He didn't greet people. He went out and got in his Lexus in the back door of the parking lot that led into his office. And, you know, and so my dad pointed right at him and went like this. He went, my dad said, yeah. He went down and he said, what can I do for you? My dad said, I want you to lay your hands on me. I want you to anoint me. And I want you to pray that God will open my eyes. He said, and call the elders over here too. Pastor said, all the elders come over here. We're going to gather around our brother. And they prayed for him. His eyesight wasn't any better. By 2 o'clock in the morning, he woke up, needed to use the restroom. He went. He shook my mother. He said, Gert, what? He said, it's 2:04 in the morning. She said, what, are you crazy? What are you waking me up for? He said, it's 2:04 in the morning. She said, that's great, but let me go back to sleep. He said, no. I can see the clock on the other side of the room. It's 2:04 in the morning. He could see. He wore cheaters before the stroke, and after the stroke, he didn't even have to. That's a true story. Isn't it, hon? They're all looking at you. He wasn't willing to give up. He wasn't willing to say. And you know what he said? See? That's what he said. See? If I'd have done what he told me, you know, the whole time they went to that church in Florida, he never let that guy pray for him again. He'd watch what side the guy was going to, and he'd go to the other side. I'll tell you, he'd never let that guy pray for him again. He said, I'd listen to him, I'd still be blind. He said, the Bible says, pray without ceasing. If I didn't get my sight, I'm going to pray again. I'm believing God's going to heal me. And I believe the whispers of heaven said, you have great faith. You have great faith. And listen to what the Bible says. Jesus then looked at her and said, your request is granted. It's done. There was no fanfare. He didn't call her up in the prayer line. In front of everybody. He didn't make a big scene out of it. He didn't say, if you give $19.95 now a month,
if you sow your seed every month of 1995, your healing will continue. No, he just simply said, "You have amazing faith, woman. It's done." He didn't say, "Now, before that happens, you have to say, repeat after me, 'Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will.'" Come on now, I can't hear you. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Musicians play. Come on now. And then you have to say, he didn't say, "Get thou down on thy knees." He didn't say to the disciples, "Go build an altar to get her to." He didn't say, "No, we can't do this till after you done get baptized." See, woman, you got to know how this works. You got to get yourself all cleaned up. Let's get you down. We'll get you baptized. Then we'll get you up here. And then we'll pray over you. And we'll anoint you with oil. And, you know, which all those things are all good. And they're all right in their place. But Jesus said the only thing needed here was faith. Because that's the only thing he commended. Oh. Is that in your Bible? He said, "Woman, you have great..." The only thing he commended was... He didn't commend her shout. He didn't commend her cry. He didn't commend the tenacity. He commended the faith, which caused all those other things to come into action. Because he got right to the root of things. He said, "Your faith is amazing. It's done." Sometimes religion has preconditioned us that if things don't happen a certain way, we can't believe that it happens. She cried out to him all this time. We don't even know how much time went on in this particular story here, but it played out over a period of time because the disciples were quite weary of her. As a matter of fact, they were actually agitated with her. They wanted her to leave. She was a nuisance to them. But Jesus wanted them to see, and he wanted her to see, and everyone around to see, and you to see here today, that the woman wasn't ready and willing to give up. She trusted and believed that if she got to the Lord, that it would happen, and it did. And the end of the story is this. Her daughter was healed that same hour. She was set free. At the moment he said, "It's done," it was done. It was done. Because when he speaks a thing, come on, there are some people that he spoke a thing, and those increases and those promotions and the other things that happened, he spoke to a thing. That's a large number. That's a large number of things in one weekend that came to pass the following week. How are you going to act this week? How are you going to respond this week to him when it seems like someone else has got answered and yours didn't? He spoke to somebody else, but you didn't think he spoke to you. He's there. He's there. Are you going to say, "Well, Lord, you're my brother. You did it for my sister. So here I am with my arms wide open, asking you, will you not do it for me? Will you not do it for me?" Or are you just going to say, "Okay, I quit. God don't love me. God don't care about me. I'm just a failure. I'm the first person in the universe that God's just not going to do anything for. I'm just going to give up and quit. I'm believing with you. Every day, every day, every day I've laid my hands on those piles. And I'm watching them go down. Watching the stacks go down, seeing what God's doing. Don't grow weary. Lift up your head, O weary sinner, and rejoice because you have been forgiven, you have been blood bought, you have been redeemed, you are a child of the Most High God. Step out of your feelings and your emotions and your rebelliousness and trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge Him and watch what He will do." He will make your path straight. Come on, worship team. Will you come back to the platform? I could talk all day long about my God. I literally could. And you all know I could. Once I start talking about him, I don't want to stop. Come on, Kenny, you got that guitar ready? All right. He didn't have to run out the door this week.
No. That was for water, by the way.
Oh. Well, one way or another, that'd have probably been true. But some of you get that later. That's funny. I amuse myself sometimes. You know, God loves you. You know, you can't laugh. I'm sorry for you. I just feel bad for you. It's okay. The Bible says the joy, I can't be joyful without laughing. When I'm joyful, I laugh. The joy of the Lord is our. I told my wife, I want to laugh more. I told her beginning this year, I want to laugh more. You know, sometimes, Maureen, you go through every day hearing problem, 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 problem. Sometimes it's hard to laugh when all you hear. You know, my job, most of what I hear all the time is when people have problems for the most part. Call me when something good happens. You know, somebody just called me the other day and said, Pastor, I just want to tell you something good because you always hear everything bad. I want to tell you something good. Call me when something good happens, too. And I don't mind when you call me when something bad happens because I'm here for you. I'm here for you. But I want to laugh more, Maureen. I don't know about you. Laugh. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Will you stand with us this morning? I hope you're happy you came today. I hope that this message that God laid on my heart, my hope is that you will have been open to receive it. It's not that you will be blessed, but because we should always be blessed by God's word. But I pray that you had ears to receive it. I pray that your heart was open and receptive to embracing it so that you can go through life knowing to just keep going. Life's hard sometimes. You and I know that. You know, we've lived long enough to know life can be hard sometimes. Jerry, life can be difficult at times. Sometimes life can smack you in the face. Sometimes it can hurt at times. But don't you give up. Don't you doubt him. Set your feet upon Christ, the solid rock, and refuse to doubt. Step into faith and believe in his love for you. And watch him do for you, because he's a good, good father. Amen. Father, bless today your word to our hearts. We've heard it. We've heard it, Lord. We know based on your word, the enemy's going to try to come. He's going to try to steal it away. For some, there will be opportunities before they exit one of these doorways for the enemy to try to steal it away from them. Because that's what he does. For some, it'll be when they get in the car. For some, it'll be when the kids start acting up on the way home. For some, it'll be when the waitress fouls up the lunch order. For some, it'll be when things didn't work out this afternoon the way they wanted or hoped or thought they would. But Lord, I pray when those moments come, that the eyes of our hearts will be opened. And we will see the enemy trying to steal our seed. The seed of your word spoken freshly into our hearts and minds today. And that we will grab a hold of your word. And we will hold on to it like it's a tug of war. That we will resist the enemy. Because your word says when we resist the enemy, he will flee. And I thank you for that today, Father. So I pray not a seed that's fallen today will have fallen on stony ground. I pray not a seed fallen today has fallen on deaf ears. But I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit, you will have enlightened our hearts to not grow weary,
to not give in. Because, Lord, I believe in my spirit today that there are those that are here today that are ever so close to the victory line. They're so close. They're so close to receiving their victory. It's not time to quit. It's not time to lay down. It's time to kick into overdrive. It's time to cry out again, Lord! Lord, have mercy on me! Lord, we need you. Lord, hear our prayer. I know you've answered for others. I know you'll answer for me. Not going to give up. Not going to give up until I hear you say, what great faith. It's done. I pray your blessing right now, Father, over every family, over every home represented here today. I pray your blessing. I pray nothing missing. I pray nothing broken. I pray complete healing, health, strength, and restoration upon every home and every family. Because, Lord, your word says you desire that we would prosper and be in health. So I stand with my brothers and sisters today in faith, believing you're a good, good Father. In Jesus' name.